right. Thank you for that good song. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel, chapter number 11. 1 Samuel, chapter number 11. I appreciate the good songs, the good spirit this morning already. Amen. And glad for my Redeemer. Amen. I was telling Brother Steve that I've been wrestling about where to go after finishing up Malachi, and really trying to prepare. And I've done a lot of different studies and gone a lot of different ways, and just seemed like everywhere I'd start, good studies, good thoughts, and there's nothing, no bad sermons in that Bible. Amen. But I just couldn't get a direction. And finally, I just I was talking with Melissa yesterday. I've studied way up in the night, several nights this week, and then yesterday practically all day. And I just finally said, Lord, if you just give me a sermon. I don't need a series. I just need a sermon to preach that's needful. And I believe that's what He's done. And I've got the thought that I've got today and this morning and tonight will not be in any kind of a series, and I don't know where I'll go next, and I'm just going to wait for Him to give the light. I'll just go, when He does, we'll launch out in that. Until then, I don't know where I'm going, but I do know what I'm going to do on the radio. I'm finishing up Monday and Tuesday. I'll finish up dealing with the King James Bible and King James, and I'm going to start, Lord willing, on Wednesday, start on the book of Ruth, a study through the book of Ruth, and that deals with my Redeemer. Thank God I've got a Redeemer. Amen. The Lord's not left us without hope. Amen. And He's given us somebody that can, that is able to deliver us. Amen. By the way, let me say one other thing before I read my text. I appreciate those that came out to the nursing homes yesterday. We had a good number there in the nursing homes yesterday. Good service as a man in the person over there at Cornerstone. Is that what it's called? Is that Brighton Cornerstone? Got to raising his hands. He was having a good time. Amen. On several of the songs, and that was a blessing. And then over in the other one as well, we had two good services. And Joshua played his guitar for us on a couple of songs there and helped us out. That was a real blessing. And I appreciate those that came out and helped in that. I encourage you to do that next month if you get an opportunity. Be a blessing. All right. 1 Samuel chapter number 11. I tell you what, before I read that, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read you a few verses there, and I'll come back to 1 Samuel. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. I'm going to read these last three verses of this second chapter of 2 Timothy. Verse 24, 25, and 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Boy, right there's the hardest one. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, some people are hurting themselves. That's what he's saying there. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Here's my phrase. I want to underline this. Who are taken captive by him at his will. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Naboth Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers of Gibeah to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of all the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. I'm going to stop reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings we've received already in song, specials, and congregational. the privilege, Lord, to be able to sit in Sunday school and listen to the Word of God being taught and learn and glean and gather from the things of God in the Sunday school hour. Lord, we're grateful for that. We don't take it for granted. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen us in our resolve to stand. Lord, You'd strengthen us in our resolve to serve You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us now as we come to this time. This sermon that I'm preaching is a thought that I've preached numbers of times, and I may have even preached it here in this pulpit in the past. But Lord, You know it's on my heart today, and it's for a purpose. And I pray, dear God, that You'd drive it home and accomplish the work You want done. Lord, I pray, save the sinner, reclaim the backslider. Lord, revive the saint. Lord, get the glory that's due Thy name, and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing. You can be seated. My thought from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 is that little phrase where he said, who are taken captive by Him at His will. And then we come to the text, and this is where I'm going to preach from, in 1 Samuel chapter 11. The text that I believe these two go together very well, and that is that these men so easily surrendered to the enemy. The enemy shows up. They encamped against Israel, verse number 1. And they come out to him and said, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Now, something that's always jumped out at me in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is that phrase, who were taken captive by him at his will. It's amazing to me that some people become a prisoner of war without ever being on the battlefield. They never put up a fight. They just immediately walk into the trap, it looks like. They just walk right into the enemy's territory and surrender. I mean, it's like they don't have any fight about them at all to withstand the enemy. And that's what the Bible says, that pastor's got to be able to deal with that, and he's got to be able to try to help them. Some people are taken captive by the devil at his will. They've been a prisoner of war, never been actively engaged in the war. There's three things in that text there in 2 Timothy that's very dangerous things. I want you to notice Satan. They're taken captive by him. The devil. The devil is our enemy. Amen. Not only is there Satan, but there's a snare mentioned there. A snare is a device that is used to entrap or to catch the prey. And the devil's got his snares laid out. Matter of fact, Paul said that we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. The devil's got all kinds of means that he's using to try to entrap his people. But here's the third thing. This is the most dangerous. Not only is Satan there, and not only is there a snare there, but people are asleep. Because that phrase where it said that they might recover themselves actually means to awaken from sleep, to be alerted to the danger. Amen. Now, yesterday, during Brother Bell's radio broadcast, he made a radio broadcast, didn't do much preaching. While every few minutes he'd be preaching, he'd be coming across with an announcement, a severe thunderstorm, severe weather, tornado seen, all this. I mean, it just kept on. And so you can use that again, Brother Bell, if you want to. Amen. But they just kept coming over with the news. We're in the trailer, and they were saying, if you're in a trailer, a mobile home, that you might want to get out and all this kind of stuff. And of course, we're not from there. We're from the mountains of North Carolina. No, tornadoes don't come through that way very often. Amen. And Melissa said, what should we do? What's the safest place? I said, the safest place is just stay right here, right now. And matter of fact, you know what I talked her into doing? Taking a nap. Amen. That's the best thing to do in a storm. Just lay down and go to sleep. Amen. And if we'd have woke up in glory, it would have been all right. Amen. But anyway, what I was going to say, we heard the sirens. And I don't know, I guess fire department, different, the sirens going off and things going on around us. You know what that is to do? That is to awake us from sleep. If we've drifted off into sleep, there's a lot of people, the storm's approaching. There's a lot of people that the devil's coming in. And you know what they've done? They've drifted off to sleep. They're not alert. They're not aware that there's anything going on. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a serious matter and it is a scary matter. Amen. I'm afraid that it is all too common how often we see young people that are doing things, that are adapting to things, making decisions, living in certain ways that we know is going to cause them problems down the road. Amen. We see that. We recognize that. And yet it seems like they cannot see it. We know they're bringing themselves into captivity. We know they're opening the doors that are destructive and might bring destruction to them just down the road a little ways. And yet they cannot see that. Amen. We see parents allowing things into their homes, allowing things into the life of their children that we know is going to bring them into captivity and going to bring them to destruction. And yet, even the parents don't seem to see it any longer. We see pastors and teachers bringing things into their churches. Amen. We know it's going to lead their congregation down the wrong road, lead them into captivity, lead them into worldliness, lead them into an entertainment mode. Amen. And yet they don't see that. Amen. I'm telling you, if you do something big today to get the crowd, you're going to have to do something bigger tomorrow. Amen. It's got to be something that's of God. If you're going to have a work of God, the church has got to be built in the things of God. Now, in my text, in 1 Samuel chapter number 11, we see that Israel has just anointed Saul as king of Israel. This is in the first days of Saul in being the king. He's the first king of Israel. And immediately they face a problem. First of all, the men of Jabesh-Gilead. I want you to notice verse 1. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. Now, here's the problem. Jabesh is in Gilead. You probably know this. Gilead is on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Gilead is the land that they settled, that those 2.5 tribes that didn't want to enter into Canaan land, didn't want to enjoy the blessings of the promised land. They said, we like it here. It's a good place for cattle. It's a good place to make money. It's a good, we like it here. It's nice and serene here on this side of the Jordan River. And you remember the story? Moses said, you've got to go over and fight with your brethren or else you'll discourage your brethren. But I'm going to tell you, there is a danger in building your home on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Amen. You ought to want to cross over, amen. You ought to want to get all that God's got for you. Don't settle for second best when you can have best, amen. Amen. But Jabesh-Gilead's on the wrong side. Jabesh-Gilead is on the east side of Canaan. Now here's what's interesting. The land of Ammon, the Ammonites, by the way, that's from the incestuous affair that Lot had with his daughters produced Ammon, which produced the Ammonites. The Ammonites and the Moabites were the enemies of the children of God from start to finish. Enemies of the children of God. You know where they laid? If this is the promised land and then Jabesh in Gilead is on the east side, guess which side that Ammon's on? It's on the east side of them. And so if Ammon is going to attack Israel, they're going to go right through Jabesh-Gilead. And so that's the first place that gets the attack. Amen. These men of Jabesh-Gilead lived on the wrong place. They lived too close to the enemy. Amen. Too close to the enemy. I believe this can be used and should be used symbolically to show us that the enemy is sneaking up on our loved ones. Amen. Those that are not in the promised land. Excuse me. Those that are not, those that are maybe not in church or not in a good church or not in a place where they're hearing the truth and receiving what we're receiving, the devil's sneaking up on them and they may be the first to fall at his attacks and we ought to be praying for them. Amen. Amen. But I'll say he's sneaking up on them and in most cases, they're unsuspecting. They don't see it coming and they're asleep. Now, here's my thought. I'm preaching on this thought today. Casually becoming a casualty. Casually becoming a casualty. Verse 1, again, my text, 1 Samuel chapter 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. So you got one side getting ready to fight. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. No swords drawn on that side. Instead of reaching for their swords, the men of Jabesh reached for a pen to sign a covenant, a peace treaty. All they want is peace. They're not interested in fighting. They're not willing to stand for their family. They're not willing to stand for what's right. They're caving in before the battles ever even began. As soon as the enemy shows up and says, boo, they throw up their hands in surrender. They wave their white flag and they're ready to quit that quickly. Amen. Now, here's something that I thought about when I was looking at this. The devil, this is how he comes in. He comes in casually. The problem here with these men was they lived between Israel and the Ammonites. And instead of seeing the Ammonites as enemy, they saw them as neighbors. Amen. I've gone down through this before in dealing with Malachi. The problem of the sin of Israel when they married into those people was that they became friendly with them. They became neighbors. They even became family involved a lot of times. And that caused them to let down their guard. Amen and amen. Can I tell you, there's some children your children don't need to hang around with too much, even if they are family. Say amen right there. Amen. There's some people that you ought to keep your children from. There's some things you ought to keep your children from. Amen. And protect them. Amen. Amen. Now I realize they say, well, you're being overly protective. I don't know. I want to keep my children from every snake there is. Every one of them. If that's overly protective, that's overly protective. Amen. I want to keep them from all of them. Amen. But the devil wants to slip in and appear haphazard. In verse number 1, they showed up and they just came to encamp against them. These were men that were their neighbors. Amen. Men that were their neighbors. Here's how the devil comes in a lot of times. The devil, when he shows up to me and you, he don't always show up with his fists balled up. He don't always show up like he's getting ready to fight us. Many times he shows up with his hands stretched out because he wants fellowship. He just wants to have fun. Are you listening to me? He just wants us to be one of the guys. He just wants us to have fun with them and run with the crowd and go the way the world's going and do the things the world's doing. He just wants us to enjoy ourselves. But that's not what he's after. Amen. He's here to destroy us. Amen. He does not ball his fist up because he'd rather we didn't ball ours up. I believe that's right. Amen. Amen. He'd rather come to us with outstretched hand, so we'll reach to him with outstretched hand. When the serpent attacked Eve, he did not appear to be attacking. He was asking her questions. And in her questions, he was trying to lead her to a better understanding. That's what he's got to say, by the way. He's going to lead her to a better understanding. I'm amazed at how many of our our institutes of higher learning are of lower morals. Amen. The devil wants you just to understand a little better so that then all of a sudden what you do is you'll tolerate everything. Listen, we're living in a day when they'll tolerate perverts, they'll tolerate wife swapping, they'll tolerate all kinds of, but they won't tolerate the truth. They won't tolerate the truth. They'll do away and they'll say, kill them, stop them, discriminate against them. Amen. And that's the day we're living in and we'll just have to face it. That's true. But the devil's coming in and wants us all just to embrace. Let's just all be family. Let's just all be friends. Let's just all have a good time together. He comes in casually offering to Eve not only a better understanding, but a more enjoyment. He said, look at this fruit now. This fruit, God's withholding it from you, but it's good fruit. It's good for the eyes. It's good for food. It'll even make you wise. In other words, what the devil was saying to her, and he told her you'd be like gods, he's saying this will actually advance you. Do you know, I've read where men honestly said that they got started taking drugs because they could see things better in the spirit world than drugs. I guess you can. But it's the wrong spirits. Amen. It's wrong spirits. I've read about all kinds of things. People go off into sin, supposedly getting a deeper understanding of God. By the way, you don't need to investigate sin. You need to investigate God. Get full of God and it'll keep you from sin. And then you'll know why you don't need to fool with sin. Amen. get closer to God. Amen. Well, the tactic of the enemy is that he loves to draw us to a place where we'll listen to his lies. He'll cause us to question God. He'll cause us to question God's word. And he'll cause us to be introduced to forbidden things. That's his tactic still to this day. Amen. Now, verse 1 of our text shows the Ammonites rising up against Jabesh-Gilead. And instead of fighting back, these men immediately suggested a peace treaty, a willing surrender. Amen. Now, why is this so? Again, I go back to this fact that these men obviously did not view the Ammonites as enemies. Amen. Rather than drawing a line, amen, rather than mounting a defense, these men chose to open their borders. They chose to allow in the enemy. Amen. Listen, we don't need to bring the world in here. When I'm saying the world, bring in worldly entertainment and worldly actions and worldly things. Matter of fact, we ought to be striving more and more to keep that out because it's trying to get in. Amen. The devil will do his best to slip in any way he can. We don't need to open the door and invite him in. Amen. I told Brother Steve this sometime back when he was first started this series on judges in Sunday school, started teaching on that. I told him that one of the things I noticed, that God said, don't take their daughters for your sons and don't give your daughters to their sons.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And that's this generation. Here's what the church has said. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the religious world. The religious world has said, we need these young people. We need to get them in our circles. We need to get them in our crowd. And so what we've done, I'm saying we, the churches and religious world, has brought in worldly entertainment, has brought in worldly actions and worldly things, even dancing in the house of God, even nudity in the house of God, even, I'm talking about all kinds of worldliness, and they rationalized it to get the crowd. You know what we've done? We've given our daughters to their sons. That's what we've done.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Right. And then when their daughters marry our sons, they take them off with them. Amen. That's exactly what happens. Amen.
Amen.
My dad was telling me just some time ago, I shared this with Brother Steve, that in a church somewhere, this preacher, he'd done some studying on music. And he was talking, and he's dealing with Southern gospel music. I realize that's what is some people's sacred cow, by the way. But he's dealing with Southern gospel music. They had a large screen on the side of their auditorium, and he was playing a group singing, and they had them up there, and they're singing, and they're dancing around while they're singing, and the whole congregation was enjoying it because it was a good song. The whole congregation's enjoying what's going on. And he let it play a little bit. And at the right time, he already had it planned because he knew what he was going to do. He had the sound man mute the sound. And all of a sudden, all the people were appalled and astonished that the dancing and cavorting that's going on the stage was sexual. And they'd been accepting it because it had gospel music applied to it. Are you listening to me? And I'm not trying to tear any group down or anything, but I am saying this. If we're not careful, we'll let the enemy move in because we've got too close to them already. Amen. And we'll think, well, that will draw a crowd. By the way, it will. We get listeners if we change our music styles. Amen. Amen. And if we do change, we need to change more conservative. Amen. Rather than more liberal. I believe that's right.
Amen.
These men of Jabesh-Gilead surrendered like a good pacifist. Amen. Brother Steve got on that this morning in Sunday school, and I thought, amen, that's going to go good with my message. Amen. This idea, don't fight against anything. Listen, oh, let's just love everybody. It's just love, 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 love. Listen, God is love, but He also hates.
Right. Amen.
He's a God of wrath. Amen. And I'm going to say this, don't fall out with me, but I just don't like sissy men.
Right. Amen.
I know. I don't think there's a place in the Bible for men to be effeminate. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like masculine women. Amen. I think they ought to be in their place. They ought to be what they are. God made a woman to be a woman. He made a man to be a man. Amen. But having said that, it don't take a masculine woman to say that's not right and to stand up and be a mama that'll see and declare that that's sin and they're not going to have their family doing that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's not exceeding her place. That's a good place of a mother. And I may say more about that in days to come. Amen. I've been thinking about what next Sunday. I'm probably going to preach a Mother's Day sermon since I won't be here on Mother's Day. Preach to the mothers a little bit. Amen. Amen. But it bothers me that so many men, and I'll deal with the men while we're here today, so many men don't seem to have a spine. Sad. Amen. So many dads that won't stand up against the devil. They'll just give him their daughter. They'll just give him their son. Amen. When I heard Brother Don Anderson said this years ago, and he is preaching it right. I'm telling you when he said it. He said, we're living in a day when they'll tie their dog at night because they don't want just any old mutt to get with it, but then they'll take their daughter and turn her loose at the mall. Something wrong there. Amen. Something wrong there. Amen. We need some dads that'll stand up against the devil. Amen. Some dads that'll say, you might set up a fight against me, but I'm going to put up a fight against you. I'm not giving in. I'm not opening the door. I'm not tearing down the walls. Amen. I'm afraid too many parents today have become so entangled with the world themselves that they can't quit their own foolishness and their own pleasure long enough to stand up against the devil and take a stand for their family. Amen. Amen. Too many Christians have become so enamored with the world that they can't even withdraw from it long enough to get a hold of God. Spend time with God. Amen. They don't have a prayer life. They don't have time to read and study the Word of God. Amen. Some of them rarely find time to go to the house of God. Amen. Yet they have time to get on Facebook. They have time to email, amen, surf the web, talk on the phone, shop, hunt, fish, golf, whatever you want to say. They got time for it if they want to do it. Amen. Amen. Whatever they feel like doing. Amen. Many people like the men of Jabesh Gilead would rather be a comfortable slave than to have to put up with combat. Oh, Lord help us. I'm afraid America, listen, those Muslims, those Arabs that came over here and attacked us on 9/11, 2001, they said that America was so soft and so weak that we wouldn't fight back. They believed that. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to believe we might be getting right there. American people are so soft and so weak that they'll just put up with anything, just roll over because they don't want to make any waves. They don't want to make anybody upset. Listen, I'm not for making people angry. If you know me, I don't believe I'm an abrasive person. I don't believe that I am a person that's hard to get along with. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I want to be a strong person. I want to be a steadfast person. I want to be somebody that you don't have to wonder which side they're on. Amen. Amen. I'd rather live by the motto of Patrick Henry, amen. You remember Patrick Henry what's the word I'm looking for? He was defending some Baptist preachers for preaching the gospel without a license in the state of Virginia. Patrick Henry rode up and in that statement he talked about what are these men guilty of, and he held the papers in his hands that were their accusations, and he held up and he's reading their accusations, and he said, these men are on trial for what? For what? He said, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he waved those papers in the air, and he did that two or three times, and one of the statements he said, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Amen. And that was a motto that spurred our men on in the war against England. Amen. We wanted liberty. We didn't want to be a slave. Amen. They kept saying, no king but Jesus. Amen. No king but Jesus. And George Washington was the general, and George Washington came up and somebody wanted to anoint him as king. He'd be King George. He said, oh no, America will have no king but Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
America has no king. We have a president who thinks he's a king, by the way. Amen. But he's not a king. Amen. No king but Jesus is right. Well, we ought to be like Patrick Henry in that fact. We ought to rather be dead than be a slave.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. We ought to rather be in a coffin than be a captive.
Amen.
The Russians said several years ago that they would conquer America from within.
Right.
I'm telling you, America has decayed from within. I don't know if the Russians are in charge of it all or not. I believe the devil's in charge of the biggest part of it. Amen. But we're being whittled down. We're being decayed from the inside. Well, the devil comes in as a casual thing. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. Look at verse number 2. Not only is the devil casual, but he's cruel. Look at verse 2. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel." Oh my goodness. Nahash, I guess the governor, or he may have been the king, but he's the leader of this army that's come against Israel, come against Jabesh Gilead. And when he heard these men come out with their little papers and their pens, and they're ready to sign a peace treaty. And they just want to surrender. That's all they want is just to surrender. I'm sure he must have been pleased with how easy this task had been, with what ease and ability it seemed that these men had just given in and surrendered to him. But Nahash was not just wanting captives. He's wanting slaves. Are you listening? The devil does not just want to take you out of service for God. He wants you no good for anything but Him. Amen. Amen. This man wanted these men to be humiliated. He wanted these men to be hurt. It's not funny. It's amazing to me what the devil does in sin. Sin humiliates people. It makes a fool out of people. It really does. Sin makes a fool out of people. I could name a million things, and you can think about some things, but I'm telling you, listen, Melissa and I, when we went and got our tags this week, I don't remember what day it was, went and got our tags for both of our vehicles, so we're officially Kentuckians now. Amen. And while we were in there getting our tags in the clerk's place over there, standing beside of us, was two men. One of the men apparently run a tattoo shop. The other man had what they call sleeves. His whole arms were completely covered with tattoos. Had tattoos on his hands even. And I didn't think anything about it other than, you know, I thought, well, you know, that don't look too good. And the tattoo artist was, they were talking together, and the man was saying, he said he'd already had 3 treatments trying to get rid of some of those tattoos on his hand. And he said the doctor told him it'd probably take 10 treatments just to cover up those tattoos on his hand. And he said, "You must have put them in there really good." And I'm going to leave off some of the language. They were using colorful language as they were talking. He said, "You must have put them in there really good." And that fellow said, "I did." He said, "I put it in there deep, and I put it in there with a lot of ink." And anyway, as they were describing it, that man with all that on him said this. He said, "I wish to God I'd never got one of them." That's what he said. "Wish to God I never got one of them." And he's talking to the man that he paid. He gave him money to put those marks on him. Now he's giving a doctor money to get them off. And wishing to God he'd never done any of it. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil, what I'm saying is the devil will humiliate you. The devil will make a fool out of you. The devil will make you do things that at the time you think's wonderful. And by the way, your friends may egg you on and encourage you on. But I'm telling you what it's doing. It's going to make a fool out of you before it's over. And sometimes some of those drinking buddies, some of that partying crowd, they enjoy watching you be a fool. They'll go off and talk to everybody. They'll talk to you about, boy, you're something. But they'll go off and talk to everybody else about what a fool you was and how much fun they had watching you be the fool. Amen. It's cruel. The devil's cruel. Amen. He didn't just want captives. He wanted to humiliate and hurt them. He required these men allow the Ammonites to thrust out their right eye. Jerk it out. Thrust out their right eye. By the way, this reveals how Satan works. Give him a little room, and he starts blinding you to one side of things. Amen. He starts blinding you to one side of things. By the way, God gave us 2 eyes for a good reason. He gave us 2 ears for a good reason. Amen. We ought to try to see both sides of the story. We ought to hear both sides of the story. Say amen right there. And He only gave us 1 mouth. That means we need to talk about half of what we talk. Amen. That's probably right. Amen. Don't repeat half of what you see. Don't repeat half of what you hear. That's probably right, ain't it? But the devil comes along to thrust out their right eye. What's he interested in? He's interested in blinding them to one side of the story, blinding them to things. A man, for example, begins to drink. Maybe he begins to drink alcohol. Before you know it, he may be committing adultery. More sin. You know why? He's blinded to himself. A man starts off just smoking a joint. He may wind up shooting in his veins or snorting up his nose or doing all kinds of who knows what in his sin and in his debauchery. You know why? Because the devil has blinded him. There's people today in prison cells because they became thieves and they hate thieves. But they became a thief because of drugs, because of sin. Because of an addiction that the devil gave them. Amen. Satan told Eve that partaking of the forbidden fruit would not hurt her. It'd actually help her. That's what he said. The devil is a world-class advertiser. He can spin a story better than James Carville. Amen. He can spin a story. He can turn that thing around and make it sound good. He said to Eve, it won't hurt you. It'll really help you. Knowing all along when God said, thou shalt surely die, He meant, thou shalt surely die.
Right.
Amen. Did hurt her. Amen. Matter of fact, here's some of the ways it hurt Eve. Think about how it hurt Eve. Caused her to end up a sinner. She ended up married to a sinner. She ended up giving birth to a sinner. She ended up standing over a shallow grave over a son that lost his life in the prime of his life. Because of another brother who became a murderer rather than being willing to be an honest man and a godly man. And rather than being a man of honor, he chose to be a murderer. Here this mother went through all this. You know why? Because she listened to one lie. She partook of one forbidden fruit. She gave in one time when she should have not given in. Amen. I'm telling you, Satan tells you lies. Amen. Tells you lies. It will hurt you if you lose your purity. It will hurt if you commit adultery. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not hurting anybody but myself. That's a lie.
Right. Amen.
It especially hurts those closest to you.
Yes.
Amen. It will hurt if you dress immodestly. It will hurt if you rebel against your parents. If you rebel against your church, you rebel against God. Amen.
Amen.
Not only is our enemy casual, he appears to be. Not only is our enemy cruel, but here's the third thing and the last thing. He has a goal to cripple. To cripple. You see, he wants to handicap us by thrusting out the right eye of these men. You know what they fought with in those days? They used a sword and they used a spear, but they also used a bow and arrow. And with that right eye gone, he completely changes things. Trying to sight with your left eye. Completely changes your ability to withstand the devil. Amen. Now here's my thought on that. Sometimes the devil wants you to open a door that just looks like it's wonderful. Just looks like, I mean, what can it hurt? Just opening one door. Some of those doors are hard to get closed. Amen. Some of those doors are hard to get latched. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil will do his best to get you to do something that will handicap you and hurt you down the road. There was a young man came to Vision when I was pastoring there. Said that he got saved and lived for a number of months clean. He'd been on drugs. He'd been on alcohol and had a lot of problems, but he lived a few months clean. Here's what he told me. He said, Brother Shepherd, you don't know how hard it is. He said, when the devil tempts me to get some dope, he said, I know where I could go and have dope before dark. I don't know those places. I've never been involved in them. He said, Preacher, you don't know how hard it is. He said, I know where I can make one phone call and have a woman. He said, I know where I can go somewhere and I can commit these sins. In other words, he had opened doors that even though he had made a profession of faith and perhaps was saved by the grace of God, I don't know, yet those doors remained ajar. Those doors were still there. He knew where they were. He knew how to get to them. He knew that, by the way, that's one reason why you ought to be careful what you look at on the internet. Amen. You ought to be careful what books you purchase and bring into your home. You ought to be careful what you allow around, because once that door's open, you know where it's at. And the devil will keep you reminded where it's at. He wants to cripple you. Make it so you can't shoot straight. Amen. Make it so that if you ever do decide to stand up and fight, it'll be harder to fight. Amen. Satan wants us to be his captives forever. He wants to handicap us. Listen, he's interested in taking people to hell. But once you got saved, you got out of his clutches as far as going to hell is concerned. Thank God. But now he's still reaching after you. You know why? Because he don't want you to be able to shoot straight at him.
Amen.
Amen. He don't want you to be able to be used. He'd like to mar your life so that there's things you can't do. Amen. He wants to be able to put some things in your life that'll hurt your testimony so that when you talk to some people, certain people you'll have a hard time talking to. Are you listening to me? Amen. He's doing his best to handicap you so he can cripple you and you won't be used of God like God wants to use you. Amen. The devil pulls people in and he tells them, listen, you can quit anytime. You can stop anytime you want. You can change direction anytime. And all the time, he's crippling them and making it harder and harder and harder for them to quit. Amen. Listen, if you sin and you try to cover that thing up and you tell a lie, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to tell another lie to cover that lie. And the longer that thing goes, the more lies there's going to be. So when you ever do decide to get right, you got a bunch of muck to go through and deal with. If you're ever going to finally get down to the bottom and get all that clean, it's hard to get through all that. Amen.
Amen.
What I'm saying to you is don't listen to the devil's lie to start with. Amen. Stand with God. Stay with God. Amen. You see, the enemy, when you give in to the enemy just a little, it hurts your testimony. And it hurts you spiritually. Every surrender hurts you more and more. Amen. Amen. Well, let me close with this thought. Look at how they got out of this. And verse number 3. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. One commentator said this. He said the reason they said give us 7 days, because I don't know what day this was, but Sunday had to come around sometime in the next 7 days. They thought maybe we can get a little help, amen, at the house of God on the Lord's Day. I don't know if that's right or not, but I thought, well, that works, amen. Like one fellow said, it don't matter if it's Bible or not, it makes good preaching, amen. Good commentary preaching, amen. But they said, give us 7 days, and let me read on. The elders said, and give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us. Now look at that. They're looking for a Savior.
Right.
A man to save us. We will come out to thee. Verse 4. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul. And told the tidings in the ears of all the people, or in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Verse 5, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. Amen. Saul is now king. He's not sitting on the throne. He's not established a kingdom. He's just been anointed king. He's still a farmer. He's still small in his own eyes. God can still use him. Amen. And yet God's going to use this. He's going to use Saul to prove to the people that Saul can be king over Israel. And Israel can function with a king that God has given them. By the way, God always planned on giving them a king. He just didn't plan on giving it to them right then and giving them Saul as the man. I believe David was the man God had chosen all along. Amen. And the reason I think God had always been intending on giving them a king, because in the book of Deuteronomy, he told them what to do when the king came. Amen. But here's the thing. God's going to use this situation to prove to the people of Israel that Saul is their king. Amen. Now here's what I want to ask me and you and apply it to us today. Is it possible that some of us have been listening to the lies of the enemy? Is it possible that some of us have been given ear and instead of recognizing that's an unfriendly voice,
right,
we think it's a friendly voice? It's a neighbor. It may be a family member. But if they're not telling you the things of God, it's not a friendly voice. Amen. Maybe we've become too familiar with things that are forbidden by the Word of God. Amen. If so, we're headed for trouble. What are we going to do? We better look for the Savior. Amen. Run for Jesus. They took the message. The messengers came to Gibeah of Saul, which was the right place. Amen. In other words, what they did, they called on the king, and God's going to use the king to deliver them, and thank God He did use the king to deliver them. But our hope for today, our hope for our family, our hope for our children, our hope for our loved ones, is that we can get a hold of the king, and we can tell the king the trouble they're in, and we can ask the king to help them, and I'm glad the king can help them. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. And I'm preaching on casually becoming a casualty. I want to ask you the question, is it possible that you've been listening to the devil? Is it possible you've been introduced to the wrong side of things? Maybe you started being blinded to one side of things. You need to call on the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've got family members you recognize they've built their home on the wrong side of the Jordan River. They're too friendly with the world. They're enjoying too much companionship with the world. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to take the message to the King. Ask Him to help. Ask Him for mercy. Heavenly Father, I love You and thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I'm glad that it'll work today just like it's worked in the past. Our King can help us, and I'm glad You're willing to hear us. And Father, come to our aid. I pray You do it even now in this invitation time. Work in hearts, do the work You want to do, and get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. While we sing, would You come?